times we go through trials that are so hard to bear. We lift our face toward heaven, saying, God, are you really there? I've asked that same question. Yes, I've been down that road. And looking back, I now can tell you, He's always led. Strong, there is hope. God has sent me here to tell you there is hope, and He knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives, there is hope. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was nailed upon the tree. He cried out to His Father, why have you forsaken me? But through my suffering Savior, He brought healing to our pain. And the one who raised up from the dead can restore us soul. What you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. My Jesus still whispers, there is hope. What you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives,
because Jesus lives,
so don't give up. There is hope.
Yes, amen. Thank you, ladies. There is hope. Not any hope in the world, not hope in sin, but there's hope in Jesus Christ. And thank God for Christ, His Word, His finished work for us. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on people. If people die and go to hell, they ought to do so against our every effort. Don't ever give up on your marriage. Every marriage can be saved if both want it to be saved. Don't ever give up on your children. You never know what it'll take for a prodigal to come home. Keep on hoping, keep on loving, keep on praying, keep the door open, but don't negotiate. Don't ever give up on backsliding. Open your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua, chapter 4. Once you find that, would you stand, please, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. and read all 24 verses of this chapter so you can get a good overview of what's being said. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you might lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle, to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Children, or Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, for our text tonight, I want us to look at verse number 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones, pardon me, in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And then in verse 19, 20, and 21, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you'll tell them about it. I want to speak tonight on this subject. What mean these stones? What mean these stones? Now, don't panic. I don't have 12 points to my message. But I want us to take a look tonight and see something significant here in this chapter. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you, Father, for its teachings, its meanings, its types, its shadows, its direct statements, all to help us to learn and grow and become the children of God that you would have us to become. Now help me tonight as I bring this message that we might be enlightened and instructed. We might leave here rejoicing at the goodness of God and what you've done for us today. And we love you. Fill me with thy spirit. Speak through me thy precious word. And we'll give you thanks in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. After 40 years of wandering in the desert, God's about to allow the new generation of Israelites to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. Now keep in mind that everybody above 20 years of age, except Joshua and Caleb, have already died in the wilderness. And this is a new generation that's about to cross over into the promised land. Their fathers died back out there in the wilderness, never enjoying the presence their presence in this promised land. Moses has died. Moses was denied entrance into that promised land because of his disobedience to God. He smote the rock twice instead of smiting it once and then speaking to it hereafter for water. Beware of the slightest disobedience to God. Disobedience to God in the Christian life does not come without a price. Be sure of that. Joshua is the new leader God has chosen for His people. And in this chapter, God gives to Joshua His final instructions before He leads the people across the Jordan River into the promised land. He told Joshua to choose out 12 men, one out of each of the 12 tribes. And when God held back the waters of the flooded Jordan, as He did the Red Sea, the 12 men are to go into the midst of the Jordan River on the dry ground where the priests are standing with the ark, and they're to pick up 12 large stones, large enough that they have to be carried on their shoulder, and they were to take them to the other side of Jordan, to the promised land side of Jordan. Then the Bible tells us in verse number 9 that Joshua went into the center of the dried up river and took 12 more stones in the midst of the Jordan, and all of the 12 stones he piled one on top of the other on the dry ground where the waters were being held back. Now, the 12 men with the 12 stones that were carried out of the Jordan were to take those 12 stones and put them in a pile at the first place they encamped in the promised land, which was Gilgal. So now we have two piles of stones. One in the midst of the Jordan River that would be covered up by the floodwaters when God let the waters that were being held back come back to their place. And 12 stones that were piled at Gilgal. These are memorials, two definite memorials. A memorial has a definite meaning. And I want to speak tonight for just a few moments, what mean these stones. May I say, first of all, the first memorial was in the middle of the Jordan River and would be covered by the waters. This memorial would be seen once by the children of Israel as they stood on the promised land side of Jordan. And they looked back from whence they came. And there in the bottom of the Jordan River is this memorial, this pile of stones that has been laid there by Joshua. And when the ark and the priest get on the promised land side, God allows the waters to come back in and cover them up. As they passed over this flooded Jordan on dry ground, the memorial was to remind them of the old life in Egypt and their miraculous deliverance from the enslavement and bondage in the world in Egypt. At the same time, that memorial was to remind them of their wasted years in the wilderness because of unbelief of their fathers. Now, this was all behind them. This was all behind them. They are no longer to dwell on the old life in bondage or the old life wasted because of unbelief. That's behind them. May I say to you, dwelling on wasted years is unproductive. It's a millstone that'll hinder you from doing the will of God in the present. Dwelling on your old life in sin is a work of futility. It's a millstone that will hold you back from doing the will of God. As they passed by and saw this stone, this pile of stone, this memorial, they would see it, and then the waters would cover it up. And they were to be reminded where they came from, what God delivered them from, and the terrible waste of unbelief and disobedience to God. Now, that's all behind them, hidden under the waters of the Jordan River. Like Paul admonished Christians to do in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, they were to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As they looked across the Jordan and remembered the 12 stones, the fact that they could not see the memorial was to remind them that the old life was gone forever. It was behind them. They were to dwell on their future and take advantage of their new life in the victory land, their promised land. Then the second memorial. The second memorial was to be placed at Gilgal, their first stopping place on victory side of Jordan in the promised land. This second memorial was to be a constant reminder that it was by the power of God that they were delivered and that they crossed over into the land of promise on dry ground. Every time they came that way, they would see that pile of stones and remember the power of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God and how that God opened the sea to deliver them from Egypt and He opened the Jordan to carry them on into the promised land. Every time they saw that pile of stone, they were to remember that it was God that did it, not Moses. It was God that did it, not Joshua. It was God who was the supplier of their every need, not the nation of Israel. And they were to see it over and over and over again. It was a reminder of the great loss by unbelief, but that God always keeps His promise. It was a reminder that they could have had this 40 years earlier if they'd have just trusted God and obeyed Him. It was a reminder that every promise in the book, God can keep. It was a promise that God does not lie. That the problems and the failures in our Christian life is not because of God, it's because of our lack of faith and our disobedience, our turning back. It was an object lesson that God intended to use from now on to teach the children of those that crossed over into Jordan how that God had delivered them from bondage, how that God had opened the Red Sea, how that God had fed them in the wilderness, how that God had pushed back the waters of the flooded Jordan and took them into the land that He had promised their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers all the way back to Abraham. But they never enjoyed it until now. God never forgets His promise. It is God's will that our children do not make the same mistakes that their parents make. What mean these stones? The children would ask. And you're to teach them and instruct them so that they'll know the consequences of sin. They'll know the loss of failure and unbelief, disobedience. So they'll know that God is able to bless them and keep every promise He makes if they'll just trust Him and obey Him. And by the way, you never trust Him if you don't obey Him. When you trust Him, you obey Him. Now, God intends that the parents be honest and faithful to teach their children about the wages of sin and the promises of God. Here's a great failure that goes on today. We tell our children, don't you do that. Well, we know why they ought not do it, but they don't unless they're taught. It's not just enough to say, you don't do it because I said don't do it. Now, the truth is that ought to be enough. But if they're going to obey God, they need to know why they should obey God. If they're going to know that this is sin and they ought not be involved in it, they need to know why it's sin. And they're not going to learn unless somebody teaches them. And God never intended that the public school system replace mama and daddy. God never intended that government organizations take on the teaching responsibilities that He entrusted to mom and dad. God never intended that the church and the Sunday school teacher replace mama and daddy. At best, we're a support team for you. We teach you so you can teach them. If your children are going to be what God wants them to be, they better get that teaching at home, and you better teach them about sin, the wages of sin. Why is this sin? If I disobey God, what's the consequences? And what's the blessings connected if I obey God? We need to teach them about the wages of sin and the promises of God. We say to them, don't you be immoral. Don't you play with this. You need to tell them why they ought not. Don't you watch that pornography. We need to teach them why. We need to teach them what it does here and what it does here and how it affects our life, and it'll affect our marriage, and it'll stay with us through our life and be a hindrance and a hurt to us. We need to tell them why they ought not drink. why they ought not use dope, why they ought not smoke cigarettes, why they ought to respect authority. Teach them, what meaneth these stones? Now, let me wind all of this together. God gave them two memorials. One that was in the middle of the Jordan. They saw it once and it was covered up. One to be placed there at Gilgal where they first encamped, to be an everlasting memorial. May I say to you that God has given to us through His church in the New Testament two memorials also. We call them ordinances. The first of those, the first is baptism. Now, baptism always takes place after our deliverance. It always takes place after we've been delivered from bondage and the enslavement of sin. Baptism is a public memorial or testimony that we've been delivered from the bondage of sin, its wages, and the old life by the miraculous redemption through Jesus Christ. You do understand that every time a person is baptized, that baptism is a teaching memorial that teaches the gospel message that our salvation is not in the act of baptism, but it's in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By baptism, we're declaring that our salvation is through the atonement provided by the shed blood of Jesus, and that nothing else, and that our sins are forgiven, washed away, and will never be remembered again. God has promised it. Micah chapter 7, verse 19, God said, He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue their iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Where are my sins tonight? When I got baptized, it was a testimony that all my sins are buried in the midst of the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again, never to be seen again. God blotted them out of our record, out of His book, and out of His mind. He'll never remember them again. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, God has promised, I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. When a convert goes into the baptismal waters to be baptized, he is declaring that the past life of sin is under the blood. It's covered by that flood of blood from Jesus, and will never be remembered again by God. When that new convert comes up out of the water, he is claiming the promise of God in Colossians 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Oh, my soul, what a promise. And again, Paul said in Romans 6, verse 1 through 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Yes, baptism is one of the two memorials that declare that because we are in Christ, old things are passed away. The old life, the old bondage of sin, the old guilt, the old waste Old things are passed away, and now then, in Christ, all things are become new. The second memorial or ordinance given to us in the New Testament church is the Lord's Supper. And it's likened unto the second memorial they were to set up there at Gilgal. You see, baptism is a one-time event. It happens after our deliverance, after our salvation. It's signifying that all of our sin is buried in Jesus Christ, never to be remembered again. We'll never see them again because of redemption in Christ Jesus. However, the second memorial or ordinance in the New Testament church is the Lord's Supper. Whereas the stones in the middle of Jordan were a memorial that Israel looked on just once to remind them that their old life was gone and they had a new beginning in the promised land, the second memorial could be looked on over and over again as a reminder of the grace and the mercy of God that delivered them and blessed them with this new life in the promised land. Even so, the Lord's Supper is to happen in the Christian life, in the Christian church, over and over again to remind us of the suffering and dying of our sinless Savior who shed His life's blood for the remission of our sins. When we partake of the Lord's Supper and our little children ask, what mean this grape juice and unleavened bread? We're to teach them the gospel. We're not to say, shut up. We're to say, I'll tell you in just a little bit. Or it might be good to look at the calendar once in a while and know that we're going to have the Lord's Supper and explain to them in advance what means this grape juice and this unleavened bread. How are they going to know if we don't teach them? If they go to some churches, they'll teach them that that is partaking of Christ. That is the way you receive Christ. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're to partake of it because we've already received Christ. We've already been delivered from the bondage of sin. The Lord's Supper is not a sacrament that absolves us of our sin and gets us into heaven. It is a memorial that we have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb, and we're to partake of it over and over again so that we might never forget, and that our children might never forget, that our Savior came down to this earth and gave Himself a ransom for our sins. Oh, my soul. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's not only a time of remembrance of Christ and His suffering, His sinlessness, and how that He became sin for us. It is a teaching time for our children. And it's to be done again and again until the Lord comes. Every time anyone from Israel passed through Gilgal, they came to this pile of stones and remembered God delivered our forefathers from Egypt. He took care of us in the desert and delivered us across the Jordan River into this victory land. When our kids come by, they need to remember what God's done for Grandpa and Grandma and Daddy and Mother, and that He'll do it for them too. It's available to them. These two memorials are important for the future of Israel in their new life in the Promised Land. They must never forget that it was God who delivered them from bondage and preserved them in the wilderness and again brought them through the Jordan to the new life in Canaan land. Likewise, the two ordinances or memorials in the New Testament are given to us so we'll never forget that our salvation was not our doing, but the provision of our holy and sinless God who suffered our curse in His own body on the cross to deliver us from the penalty and the bondage of sin. that our sin, that they're a reminder that our sins are buried in Christ, never to be remembered or seen again, never to be held against us. We're to love Him that much more. And thank God that He was the ransom paid for our sin debt. Let us never dwell on our sin in the old life, but let us dwell and remember it was Christ who redeemed us. It is Christ who blesses us. And that our life worth living and our future to look forward to is wrapped up in Him. And our life of faith and obedience to His will and to His word. Heavenly Father, thank You for this Bible study tonight. May we never forget.